comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome, one and all, to an all-new Nerds United, Episode 8, or as I'm going to call it, and you can affectionately refer to it from now on as a very special Christmas special 1. Next year, we'll have a very special Christmas special 2, where hopefully we'll have new things to talk about, but let's dive right in, shall we? First of all, I have to apologize to my friends out at Twilight Comics in Shiloh, Illinois, because I haven't been there in over 2 months. I haven't been there since October 16th, and I know the day because I was on my way back from Lincoln, Nebraska that particular day, and I stopped. I got permission from my wife because, you know, we're always trying to keep an eye on our money, and I said, honey, can I swing by and get some comics? And she said, yeah, just don't go crazy. Don't get all of them. So my pull list at Twilight is massive. By the way, if you want to get me a last-minute Christmas present, go to Twilight, buy up my entire pull list, and I'll send you a shipping address. No, I'm kidding. You don't have to do that, but you can if you want to. I'm so far behind on all of my reading. I see some things on Twitter, of course, going all the way back to episode 1 where I talked to Van Jensen, a fellow Nebraska native, because I'm not from Nebraska originally, but a Nebraska native and the current writer on Green Lantern Corps. I see him retweeting some things about Green Lantern Corps, and I say, crap, I'm so far behind that I don't know what the hell he's talking about or what people that he's retweeting are talking about. So I need to get caught up, and hopefully over this Christmas break, maybe I'll find a day and some money to go over and get my books, because they're important to me and I miss them so much. I miss reading comics. No, what I've been doing in my downtime, which I don't have much, I've been going back to rereading some old Batman stuff. I mean, I went back one night and I read The Killing Joke, and you know, the more you read things, I think, for me, and I'm not saying this for everybody, but you read something, you kind of get the basics of it. Same with watching a movie. And then you keep reading it, or you read it again, or you watch it again, and you pick up little details that perhaps you missed. And that's why I keep movies. I don't just rent movies. I buy them and rewatch them. Secondly, I mean, it's same thing with books and comics. You know, I could just get a library card and go and rent or borrow a book from the library and read it and return it. But I think regular books are a little different than comics. Comics, because of the illustration factor, and I'm going to use that as an example, I think, you know, I'm a story guy. I love to read the story, and the art is filler for me. Go back into the 90s, art was the driving force behind much of the successful titles of that time. We're talking X-Men, Spider-Man, obviously, you know, Action Comics, Superman, Batman, obviously, Spawn, but the art drove the medium in the 90s. Now, I think, as the kids of the 90s who maybe were turned on by the bright colors and the big muscles and other body parts, Jean Grey. No, I think that as we have grown up, we can appreciate the story as much, if not more, than the art. And I'm not saying that there aren't artists out there that I love, because there are. It starts with Jim Lee. Ivan Reiss is good. Greg Capullo. Those are a few that I'm familiar with. Again, because I do kind of lean more towards the DC side of things. But for me, story is paramount, which is why I'm such a big fan of the Grant Morrison stuff and Frank Miller and recently Scott Snyder and Van Jensen and, of course, Geoff Johns, who did so much fantastic work, not just with Green Lantern, but Johns brought back, or perhaps maybe brought an aspect of respect to Aquaman, what he did with Justice League. Johns is a terrific writer and presenter of the Mythos. And he is, you know, you talk about guys that I'd like to interview on this podcast. Jeff Johns is in my top two. The only other one perhaps higher than Johns at this point is Stan Lee. And the only reason I say Stan Lee is because of all of his influence, all that he's done. And look, I love Stan Lee, but he is getting up there in age, and I would love the opportunity to sit down and talk with him before before he's no longer with us. And I'm going to knock on wood. I don't want to be that guy that jinxes Stan Lee, and everybody's going to come back. Did you hear, Chris, the episode 8 of Nerds United? Mahatch goes there. He's talking about, you know, a day Stan Lee's not going to be around anymore. We're going to have to lynch him. No, I'm not. I love Stan Lee. I want him to live forever. And to a certain regard or certain point, he will live forever in the characters, the world that he has created or helped create. Stan Lee's influence goes, I think, beyond just comic books or Marvel, if you will. So anyway, what am I drinking this week? I'm drinking Ski. And if you don't know about Ski, there are some people out there who've listened to some other shows that I've done. They know I love Ski. You can follow them on Twitter at MySkiSoda. I think it's the same on Facebook. Go to MySkiSoda.com, see where you can get Ski near you. SKI. It is real lemon, real orange, real good, made with pure cane sugar. If you can, get the glass bottle Ski. Fountain Ski's number two. I'm drinking from a 20-ounce plastic bottle. It's still pretty good. Let's get a swig of Ski, a drink of Ski for the reading man and woman and listening man and woman of Nerds United. Oh, that was good. That was more than a swig. That was a gulp. Anyway, a couple of things that I want to hit on before we start. Before I get into the Christmas stuff. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. If you haven't, you can check it out right now on the post, on this Jittery Monkey Nerds United post for Episode 8, the Godzilla trailer. I'm a little fearful about the confession I'm about to make because some of you may call for me to hand in my nerd card, which when I was in high school, I would have denied ever having a nerd card. No, I don't read comics. What are you talking about? I play sports and fail with the ladies. I don't play sports anymore, and I'm married, so my nerd card is well intact. Thank God that my wife is a nerd too. We'll get into that. That'll be episode 9 for the new year. But I'm turning her. We're good. I have never seen a Godzilla movie. I know. What is wrong with me? I mean, the going back to the classics, I know of them, you know, Godzilla, Mothra, things like that. It's just not something I ever cared to watch. You know, a guy in a rubber suit smashing around a miniature set wasn't for me. I certainly didn't watch the 1998 or 1999. That's the ski. Ski causes me to belch a little bit. But anyway, no, I didn't. I did not see the late 90s Godzilla. The reboot that they tried with Matthew Broderick, I never heard anything good about it. 15 years later, I'm still not hearing anything good about it. But the trailer that I saw a couple days ago for the new Godzilla coming out in 2014, that not only will be the first Godzilla movie that I watch, but certainly it'll be the first one that I watch in theaters. And if it is going to be a trend, if they're going to continue with the series of it, I will probably get hooked on Godzilla based on this 2-minute trailer that barely shows the creature itself, Godzilla. I think it is still taking part in Japan. I was looking through the cast already on or you know who's been in the production, and you know Ken Watanabe or oh I'm gonna get roasted for that I can't remember his name, but that guy, he's in there. There's still a heavy Japanese influence on this. Like I said, I think it takes place, you know, is set in Japan with, you know. As we've seen in the world here lately, when there's a disaster, you're going to get some international assistance. And I think that's where, you know, the trailer again, if you haven't watched it, hit pause, go back to the post here, the episode 8 post, and watch the trailer real quick. But if you have watched it and you just need a little refresher, it is basically it's an aerial, you know, I'd call them paratroopers, but I know that they're more than that. Anyway, it's an aerial strike team, lack of a better term, similar to what we saw in, I'm going to say it was Transformers Dark of the Moon, where they come in, you know, they do that the ring formation and they kind of glide into position. However, these are up higher. They have to have breathing apparatuses, not quite Felix Baumgarten high, you know, from the edge of space, but you know, they also, because it's such a smoky environment, they have red flares and they're all streaming red smoke so that they can find each other both in the air in the descent and also on the ground. So pretty pumped about this, again, from a the perspective of a guy like me who never really cared about the Godzilla feature. I'm more excited about this than I ever was for Pacific Rim, which I still haven't seen. And, you know, some comparisons, how can you, you know, what's so special about a monster movie like Godzilla when you've had the Pacific Rim and you've had the monsters versus the huge robots? And I think because in Godzilla you have just, and this is going to sound crazy, it's more realistic. But hang with me. You're going to have monsters in the movie, that's fine. How you attack those monsters or defend against those monsters. You have one, you have the Voltron slash Power Ranger-esque massive robot warrior, or you have men and women, soldiers, you know, who are trying to defend against the monster. So from that angle, from that aspect, I think it's a bit more realistic. Again, the 2-minute trailer, I've not given it the proper justice, so if you haven't yet, click over and watch it. What else am I talking about this week before we get into the Christmas stuff? There was a rumor that Joaquin Phoenix was being pursued as the lead villain in the upcoming Batman, Superman, you know, Man of Steel sequel. And from the point that they said, you know, possibly Lex Luthor. However, it was my understanding that Bryan Cranston had been cast as Lex Luthor. So other names were, other characters were tossed out, one of them being Maxwell Lord and another being Vandal Savage. Savage is an interesting one because of the immortality factor. Maxwell Lord, and again, this is most of my knowledge of Maxwell Lord comes from the Blackest Night, but more specifically Brightest Day storyline in DC from a couple of years back. He was a guy who basically Wonder Woman kills him on live international television and starts a maelstrom of criticism because heroes aren't supposed to kill. Well, we've seen that happen already in Man of Steel. So, interesting take. Joaquin Phoenix, of course, by my estimations, rose to fame as a villain in 2000's Gladiator opposite Russell Crowe, but has done some more off-the-beaten-path roles, has kind of tried to steer his career away from the big blockbuster type of movie. But you put Batman Superman in the equation, and you know, I can't think of many Hollywood types, actors or actresses, who wouldn't want to be in that as well, you know, from a creative standpoint, and to say, I was there. You know, it's like, where were you when, you know, the team, your team won the Super Bowl the last time? Or, you know, I'm trying to steer it away from tragic events, you know, like where were you when JFK was shot or 9/11? Where were you when Batman Superman was being made? Were you working on some other project, or were you there? Were you there watching Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck stare each other down? You know, watching Amy Adams and Lawrence Fishburne and Bryan Cranston. Were you there, or were you off working on the latest romantic comedy that's, you know, going to have a respectable following from the 17 to 24 female demographic, or Batman, Superman, which is going to gross $200 billion worldwide. I'll tell you where I would be and where my bank account would like to be, Batman Superman. Just saying. So, pretty interesting that Joaquin Phoenix was being pursued. We'll see, maybe by the next time we record, or I record, or we have a conversation, that's one way, what any future developments will be on that. Let us then get into why we're here. It's Christmas, and I had the unenviable task, if you will, of trying to get my wife into the Christmas spirit. And I'm going to preface everything else that I'm about to say by telling you that we have been exceptionally blessed by family, friends, and strangers in our life who have all made a gift from their heart to an organization so that my wife and I can fulfill our dream of having a family. If you want to know more about that, ask or something. I don't know. I don't want to get into that right now. But people that we know, people that we don't know, have been exceptionally generous to us. So in our pursuit of our dream of having children. So with that being said, I have kind of been in the Christmas spirit since about early November. My wife, however, has not been feeling the Christmas spirit, and she says, you know, in her defense, and it's a very logical defense, she says, you know what, it's tough to buy for all the nieces and nephews when we've had as many struggles as we have. You know, she's like, it'd be more fun for me, again, from her perspective, if we had, you know, our own little one to shop for and whatnot. And I completely understand and even agree with that. But I'm so thankful and hopeful for the future that I can't help but just be overflowing with this feeling of blessedness or a feeling of giving. I have you know, we did took my nephew a little more than a week ago out to see a holiday train. He loves trains, so we did that. Playing Christmas music, been watching Christmas movies, and here we are just about to Christmas Day, and my wife's finally in the Christmas mood or spirit, so I'm pumped up for that. And so we've been watching, like I said, Christmas movies. We've watched Polar Express now my nephew is five, at his, I don't want to say request or insistence, it's a movie that I've had for several years, but it was after watching, you know, him with the trains and whatnot, let's watch some Polar Express. So we've watched Polar Express, we've watched Four Christmases, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. There have been several others in there that we've watched. Home Alone and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, both the cartoon and the live action. Thank you very much. Did I say the Santa Claus? I don't know. If not, it's in there. Anyway, we've been pretty busy, and presents are wrapped, and we're ready, finally, to be with family, be with friends, and to celebrate. We'll do our own Christmas on Wednesday morning. I keep trying to, you know, start early, not to receive, but I'm so excited. My wife, you know, since September, she's like, I don't really want anything for Christmas. You know, having that type of mentality. And so it's just a struggle for me because I always try to get something that she's going to like. Well, she didn't give me any hints, any, you know, leading me, any guidance this year. So I really had to think. I got a pretty sweet present. Now, in the off chance, the 1 out of 100 chance that she's actually going to listen to the show, I'm not going to tell you what I got her. I'll tell you next year. I'll tell you after Christmas. But I'm so excited for her to open up her present that's why I keep wanting to get a jump start on Christmas. I don't care if she waits till Wednesday to give me my presents, but you know, whatever that may be. But I'm just so excited to give her hers that I don't want to wait anymore. And that's, for me, you know, as a kid, I think you want to receive, certainly, because you don't worry about giving gifts because mom and dad, you know, usually handle that stuff, especially when you're, you know, single digits and whatnot. Mom and dad, you know, you don't, they might put your name on it, you know, but it's not from you to even your sister. You know, it never was for me. Mom's like, your sister needs a curling iron. Here, you're getting her a curling iron. Okay, thanks, Mom. I don't know if my sister ever got a curling iron for me Christmas. If so, I got nothing for that. But anyway, as you get older, and especially as you find that person that you want to, you know, give the world to, then that idea of giving them that present, you know, it becomes a little bit more anxious. You know, you don't want to have to wait. So again, I'm pretty pumped up for that, and hopefully she likes it. No, she will. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, so we've been watching, like I said, the Christmas movies, which reminds me, I mean, trying to tie this all into Nerds United. When I was a kid, I went with my sister and my grandparents to a mall in St. Louis. Don't ask me which mall. I don't remember. But they had one of the little stores was not even a quote-unquote brick and mortar. It wasn't even a comic book store, but I remember that they had a bin of comics that were all, you know, stood up. They were in bags. I don't think they were boarded. But anyway, I grabbed three Superman comics. One of them, and they were all different. One was Superman and his battles against, I'm going to mispronounce her name too, Banshee. Well, let's call her Silver Banshee rather than trying to get too specific with her, you know, character details. Another one that I got was Clark, or rather Superman, battling this doctor who had kind of injected herself or been exposed to almost like a Hulk serum. You know, she turned into this rampaging beast, which I think her name might have been Rampage. I'm not 100% sure on that. And then the last one was Superman, and it was Christmas time. And so he was trying to, you know, he was receiving about as many letters as Santa Claus, and he's trying to answer them all, and he makes a trip over to Germany to reunite some sisters who were separated in World War II. He dons all black and helps out Lois by, you know, being the flight, you know, for the reindeers, for Santa's sleigh, and for the big toy giveaway. Just doing a lot of things like that. So, again, I tie Christmas in. That's a pretty unique book in that, you know, Superman says, I'm only one man. You know, there's no way I can read all of this mail. But he did a pretty admirable job. But anyway, been watching the Christmas movies. There are a couple Christmas movies I've yet to watch. Probably will be done Christmas Eve and Christmas Day or night. I am a proud owner of A Christmas Story, so I don't need to get the 24 hours of A Christmas Story on TBS. I can watch it in an hour and a half commercial free, so I'll be doing that at some point Christmas Eve. And I think the only other one that is a mainstay in my yearly viewing is It's a Wonderful Life. And I don't know what it is about that Jimmy Stewart classic, but that movie, for me, is must-watch every year. And I think it helps me to appreciate what I have and the many things that I should be grateful for. A lot of people say that. A lot of people say it's just the black and white movie, man. There's nothing, you know. But again, this time of year, I think you can always find a little something more, something special in movies. Speaking of, there are a few in theaters right now that I haven't seen yet. I'm going to probably see The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug, New Year's Eve. If I had to guess, New Year's Eve. If it's as long as it's still in theaters around me, we'll be checking that one out. My wife and I, for a couple of years now, have had a little tradition of going and watching a movie on New Year's and trying to just avoiding that crazy, you know, party scene. We're not big partiers. In fact, there's a shirt out there that I want that says I love to party, and by party I mean nap. So, you know, there it is. I'm not saying partying is bad. If you're a partier, more power to you. I'm old. I don't want to party anymore. So tonight, between getting together with family and friends and then church late tonight, we'll probably sneak in a Christmas Story, and then we'll have something else. We'll do It's a Wonderful Life Christmas morning. while we're opening up our gifts and whatnot before we head out for more family festivities. So there it is. This is the very special Christmas special of rambling and randomness, and I do appreciate your support over. It's been 6 months or so, and this is only episode 8, and I appreciate your patience. And I think I say this every time. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate your patience. Appreciate your support. And we'll do it again in 2014. Hopefully a little bit more scheduled, a little bit more regimented, and crossing the fingers that I'll be able to get back on track and get some more interviews lined out and headed your way. That is it for episode 8, the very special Christmas special of Nerds United. Hopefully you listened while you were going over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Make sure that she's not run over by a reindeer. It's always messy. We will see you episode 9 in 2014 on Nerds United. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Stay safe. Thanks for listening.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.